Two world leaders beset by cyber and trade controversies have a summit in the desert.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. America's top intelligence official has just declassified, then released, documents to argue the case that the government has the authority to tap into internet companies in the fight against terror. The move comes after the Washington Post reported that the National Security Agency has a program called PRISM to monitor Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Skype, Apple, Microsoft, and others. The companies deny knowledge and deny helping. The day before it came out, the government has a court order to get the phone records of millions of Verizon business customers. This may change the tenor of the summit between President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping, which kicks off today in California. Hacking and the purloining of trade secrets, possibly by the Chinese military, was presumably going to come up. It's the first time the two leaders have met since Mr. Xi became president in March. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So what do you think is at the top of the agenda?
Oh, there are a lot of things at the top. North Korea, cybersecurity, trade. But I think one of the most important things on this agenda is actually not even on the agenda, and that's getting to know each other. In the last 10 years, China's had a leader, Hu Jintao, who was never really that open about talking about the list of problems between the two countries. He was pretty robotic. So today, you know, here we have Xi Jinping, who's much more personable, more comfortable in his own skin, and seemingly more candid about what he's looking for in this relationship.
Okay, so if he's more easily read, give us a sense of what Mr. Xi might be looking for.
Right. You know, he's talking a lot about wanting a new kind of what he calls a great power relationship with the U.S. And what he means by this is cultivating a relationship that'll avoid this historical pattern of a rising global power coming into conflict with an established one. And the first step in a relationship like that is for the established power, the U.S., to treat the rising one as an equal. I spoke to UC Irvine Chinese history professor Jeffrey Wasserstrom about this, and he told me that Xi has more to gain from this summit than Obama does.
Obama would need something pragmatic, I think, to come out of the summit to gain from it, and it's unlikely to be anything very pragmatic, whereas Xi will benefit simply from this being a further acknowledgement of how seriously the world is taking China.
And so he says likely won't be anything pragmatic to come from the summit, so maybe we should reset expectations.
Well, I do think there are many points of common ground between the U.S. and China. For example, Xi Jinping has made it clear that China needs to reform its economy, shifting more money from the state to the private sector, pushing more Chinese into the consumer class. And that's definitely in the best interests of U.S. companies who want to sell to the Chinese. On the U.S. side, Xi will probably ask Obama to make it easier for Chinese companies to sell products to Americans, because every time Chinese companies want to invest in the U.S., a lot of times members of Congress act like the sky's falling. So these are issues that I think in the short term, the two sides can realistically move forward on.
All right. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joining us from Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Now let's do the numbers. A moment this morning that looms over financial markets globally, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, 5:30 Pacific, the U.S. government's jobs report for May. Forecasters are looking for American payrolls to be up by about 165 or 170,000. In Japan, the Nikkei closed down 0.2%. The FT100 in London is down 0.3%.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
The tiny Gulf state of Qatar is, per capita, the richest country on Earth, and it's been flashing its wealth around. It's been on a $60 billion a year foreign spending spree, pouring billions into the Arab Spring and snapping up trophy assets, mainly in Europe. But as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the binge may be ending.
Qatar's spending spree reached a sort of peak last year when the mayor of London cut the ribbon on the city's newest skyscraper.
I have great pleasure in declaring the highest viewing platform in Europe, if not the world, open.
It's Europe's tallest building, called the Shard, and it belongs to Qatar. So does the luxury department store Harrods, and a top French soccer club, and a string of other valuable European assets. But Qatar's acquired another prize that could now stem the flow of its foreign investment.
The winner is Qatar!
Since winning the right to host the 2022 Soccer World Cup, says analyst Toby Isles, Qatar's been splurging at home.
Things like the metro, the airport, a new deep-sea port, lots of housing, more roads. So I think some of their foreign purchases will go down as they're spending more domestically.
But Qatar may pull in its horns for another reason. The country has bought influence in the Middle East by pouring billions into liberation movements in Libya, Tunisia, Egypt and Syria. Now there are signs that policy is backfiring. This hit song from Egypt is based satirically on a famous anthem to Arab nationalism. The words have been mockingly rewritten to say, "My beloved Qatar, your wealth grows daily and your investments fill our world." Analyst George Joffe.
Qatar's small size, with an enormous influence because of its wealth, is resented by many other states as well. So the backlash is hardly surprising.
Qatar's flag and effigies of its leader have been burned by protesters in several Arab countries. The world's richest nation seems likely to lower its international profile and retreat back to its home turf. I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And some interesting numbers here. The poverty rate for married heterosexual couples in America is 5.7%. It's lower for pairs of gay men, 4.3%. But according to a new analysis of four databases done by UCLA, lesbian couples have a poverty rate higher than both, 7.6%. One hypothesis blames the gender wage gap. Women pay less than men in general. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.